a city that had the highest infant mortality rate in the country. It was about 10 kilometers from where I lived, but it might as well have been on the moon, so different was Newark from the cities around it. Cedric was one of the students in a third-grade class I was asked to teach for a month. He must have been 10, no more than that, and thin, as if his body had decided to use the energy available to it to grow tall, even if he had to be thin to do so. His skin was medium brown, and he had curly dark hair cut very short. His eyes were a bit lighter than his hair, and his hands were never still. His smile, which I suspect appeared only by accident, was lovely, yet somehow guarded. His normal expression was a worried nervousness, something that belonged anywhere but on the face of a 10-year-old. The school in which I taught was made of red brick, just like the school in the third grade reader we used. It was in a city that even then had a majority black population, although the city government was still in the hands of the descendants of the millions of Italians who emigrated to the U.S. in the early 20th century. The black population, far greater in number than the white, had no political clout. This was the U.S. in the 70s, and that was the way things were. Even though the black residents had rioted for days, only 3 years before. His Honor the Mayor had recently been convicted of conspiracy and extortion, and was currently serving time as a guest of the state. But, Newark being the kind of place it was, such things did not disturb the citizens of the city, and surely not the members of the faculty of the Franklin School. There were about 30 kids in the class I was given to teach, not that I had any idea of what third graders were expected to know, nor was any suggestion provided that might have advised me how to teach them. Half of the kids were girls, half boys. Most of them were black. Some background information is needed here. There had been one black student in my own elementary school class, none in my high school or university classes. I had no black friends because segregation worked and kept us far apart, as separated and incomprehensible as creatures of different species. Protest against racial injustice was seen by white people entirely on television, it being a reality they did not suffer. The few times I'd traveled in the South, visiting family, I'd been startled by signs indicating that certain drinking fountains, buses, restaurants, beaches, and just about any place where humans congregated were strictly segregated. The only explanation I could wrest from my parents, people of a liberal cast of mind, was a falsely neutral, "People are different down here." I might as well have been living in Cape Town. I was the grandchild of immigrants. My family name was once De Leon, but both the de and the accent disappeared at the port where my paternal grandfather entered the United States from a South American country, the name of which he never mentioned. Nor did he ever speak to any of his grandchildren in Spanish. He came, he saw, he started down the gangplank, and by the time he got to the bottom and stepped away from the boat, he was American, and accepted as such. Because he was a well-educated and successful businessman, and because he looked like everyone else, he was never the victim of prejudice of any sort. Nor did his grandchildren, sheared free of that foreign name, even know what prejudice was. Cedric, born American, had none of these advantages. Often absent from class, we didn't have to report a student's absence until the third day. When he did come, he usually sat and looked out the window. As I recall, he was always eager to be the one to read out loud from the prescribed reader, within whose pages